All right, welcome into a Friday edition of the Flagrant 2 with Bill Ryder. That's me, and Reed Forgrave, that's you. What's up, Reed Forgrave, in Minneapolis, Minnesota?
Top 10 summer city. Top 10 summer city, bro.
Home opener tonight, I'm going.
About the lovely Utah Jazz in town.
Yeah, that team's not going to be as good as last year. Oh, the Rubio return.
Yeah, and the Rubio return. Actually, I have a shoot around right now, which I'm missing to do our lovely podcast. I actually think the Jazz are going to be they're not going to be as good, but I think they'll be just fine. Well-coached team with some underrated players and Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
What's up, Ryder? You guys can't see this. Bill makes faces at me a lot. We're on Skype right now.
Let's open with the Jazz. Let's talk Jazz. Let's do it.
Go Rudy Gobert. I think Rubio's great for the team. I think he's an underrated defender. I think Donovan Mitchell is going to be really, really good. Maybe not this year, but eventually. I mean, I think they're a playoff team.
Can I shift the conversation to a topic that people don't want to talk about, but I think is worth some discussion from a pure basketball perspective? And that's Lonzo Ball.
100%.
Utah Jazz. I'm just looking at you because it's like, I'm not Minneapolis biased. Hey, today in town is Utah, therefore they're really worthy. Let's talk about them. All right. A Christmas Carol is playing early, and I just cool. That sounds Minneapolis rocking. By the way, Minneapolis, I love you. I just like
no. He's the new nickname for Bill Ryder is Bicoastal Bill.
It's funny you say that. I'm flying Sunday for the World Series from New York to L.A. And I was thinking, man, I wonder if the trajectory will take me over a better city like Minneapolis.
Not even having a layover in flyover country. Literally flying over flyover country.
Lonzo Ball got his ass owned by Patrick Beverley. It was not a good night. 1 for 6. That's 16% from the field, 16.7%, which means you will be singing 15 seconds later in the show of Against the Bill rather than Against the Wind by Bob Seger. You know why? You know why, Reed? Because we made a little bet. You remember our bet?
Did make a little bet. You know that Big Lebowski line where they're in the cab and he's like, I hate the fucking Eagles, man. Remember that? Mm-hmm. You like how I self-bleep myself there, Joey?
You did. You didn't have to bleep you.
It came out? Damn.
I heard it.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about Bob Seger. I hate Bob Seger.
Do you? I've seen Bob Seger in concert at the Forum in L.A. Amazing. My dream is a Kanye-Bob Seger combo.
It's likely.
Like Coldplay and, Jay-Z. Like, I want Kanye and Bob Seger. I think it'd be absolutely amazing.
I love Kanye.
You better get to it. By the way, it was 15 seconds. We did a bet on the over-under shooting percentage in game one for Lonzo Ball at 37%, the easiest money I've ever made. We will do it at the end of the show. 15 seconds is a long time, having done these on radio before.
Yeah, and it's a
long time.
Against
the Bill, I found myself, and if you stop or you don't do it properly, you have to start over. So you might want to get the lyrics to Against the Wind out. You insert the word Bill for wind, and you sing the chorus.
Yeah, this is going to really improve the ratings of this podcast, by the way.
Well, we're going to go from 4 to 5, because 4 of you to 5 of you. All right, so we're always captives of the moment. We're always sort of assigning certainty to moments without context, particularly in sports. One game, first game, Lakers, 82-game season, Lonzo Ball's first game ever, right, that counts, NBA player. Against Patrick Beverley, who might, as great a defender as he is, he might be better at mind games.
I'm not saying
like Lonzo Ball's going to be a superstar, but I'm not worried about Lonzo Ball yet. It's one game against Patrick Beverley, who did go after him because of his dad, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's Patrick Beverley said as much. I mean, the quote that he said after the game was, he's a great talent, but he's got to go through all the tough times. I just had to set the tone, man, due to all the riffraff his dad brings. Had to welcome his little young ass to the NBA.
Yeah, well, how many times did he call him a little, not my words, America, and my wife doesn't listen to the podcast, but she might overhear in the other room and gets mad when I use misogynistic language. I am simply reporting as a journalist. I'm in no way endorsing this kind of conversation. But how many times did he call Lonzo a little bitch to his face on the floor? It was two that I saw.
Yeah.
You can't usually hear. Like, if you can pick out a couple of them from TV, there's like, it's usually a 30-1 rule. So
and you are not a particularly accomplished lip reader. So for you to be able to see that is impressive. I mean, look,
accomplished lip reader. What does that even mean?
Doesn't mean anything.
What does that mean?
Friday morning.
Are you going to bring it back to Minneapolis? But in Minneapolis,
we do have a lip reading school ranked in the top 5 internationally.
How do you know I'm not an accomplished lip reader? How do you even know? How do you assess
that? I've known you since college. I've never known you to be a lip reader. Are you hiding a pretty impressive skill? I think you would have shown this skill.
When would I have lip read? You talk all the time, lip reader. And you actually.
I've known you for so long. Yeah, dude, you're a bad lip reader. Not even like not accomplished.
I am Patrick Beverly and you right now. I am Patrick.
You write the scripts.
1-6.
You write the scripts. That's funny. You write the scripts for those bad lip reading things. That was a dumb comment. I apologize, America.
You're 1-7 now. You're 1-7.
Man. So yeah, like I don't read into this at all. Like Lakers are a bad team this year. But they're really a really interesting team with a lot of really interesting young pieces who I think will blossom over the next 2 to 3 years. Lonzo Ball at the front of that. Like there were two things that jumped out to me yesterday about Lonzo. The first thing, kind of like his first real play as an NBA player, first play of consequence, was a hard foul on DeAndre Jordan right under the basket. You're sending DeAndre Jordan to the line. Heady play, but more importantly, just a tough play. Lonzo Ball, not a guy known for his defense. To see him doing that right out of the gate, not backing down against one of the tougher under the basket guys in the NBA, that was impressive to me. And the other thing, there was like I think early in the second quarter, he had this like throw ahead pass and got a clear path foul for Brook Lopez, and it just showed incredible court vision. He has these intangibles and frankly this leadership skills that is it's impressive, Bill. And like, I don't care that he was 1-6. The only reason that I care that he was 1-6 and got his ass handed to him by Patrick Beverly is because I got to sing later today on this podcast, and that's bad. That is bad.
Here's my thing. All right. So here I think is the actual question. Like Lonzo and what he's going to be down the road, what he's going to be long term, what he's going to be as a player. All of that we can't assess today. I don't believe whatsoever we can assess that. LeVar's impact on Lonzo, for better or worse, in the actual NBA, I think there's the beginning of assessment on that read, because he is going to get everybody's best game. I remember when I covered Lynn Sanity and you and I talked about this read, Lynn got everybody's best game and it was pretty cool, right? People were put out by the attention Lynn got. Guys, you and I have covered sports long enough. This image that is put up of like Chris Paul, the State Farm good guy, or whatever they sort of sell us, right? Whatever the image, these guys are human beings. And like most human beings, a lot of them are thin-skinned. A lot of them want attention. A lot of them have egos. They don't like their shine being stolen. It's why, remember the Heat during Lynn Sanity when they devoured Lynn Sanity, Wade, Bosh, and LeBron?
Yeah.
Like 5
yeah.
years ago?
Like you're taking our shine.
Right, and spit it out. They destroyed him. And then Lynn Sanity was kind of over. And Lynn's, we'll get to later his injury, which is awful. But, had a nice career. He's an okay player. He's a B-minus, right? Lonzo Ball is going to have that from day one, and you saw it last night. Can I read Beverly to you on Lonzo and LeVar to you on Beverly? Read. Do you want me to bleep these out, or do you want me to make Joey do it?
Joey, of course. Right. Joey's number one talent.
Beverly on Lonzo, quote, weak ass motherfucker. Bring him out on the court with me, and I will tear his ass up. I mean, think about that. Like, those are the kind of comments reserved for a guy who used to play, where you have to drive across California and beat the living shit out of him because he's sleeping with your wife, right? Like, sorry, yeah. Jason. Sorry. I mean, not Jason. Sorry, Derek. Right? Like, let me just, and then here's LeVar on Beverly, which isn't going to help. You shut the mother down, LeVar Ball told ESPN. And then he goes on, and then he basically goes like, and your check still ain't going to be no higher than what it is. Yeah, you shut him down, okay? Who is Patrick Beverly? He played all last year and nobody said nothing about him. It goes on. Here's my thing.
LeVar.
What the fuck? LeVar, so, shut up, man. We like LeVar. We're on the podcast. Be quiet, LeVar.
I like LeVar a ton. Is there – I was trying to think of, like, analogies to this. Remember how Earl Woods used to make it harder on Tiger by putting all that pressure on, by yelling at him in the middle of the swings?
I love this. I love where you're going. Yep.
Is there something to it that LeVar is playing mind games in a good way with his son, bringing the pressure right at the beginning?
I think – all right. So I love this. I will say this. With Earl Woods, it was intentional. It was strategic. It was tactical to his son's benefit. With LeVar, I think it's accidental.
Oh, I don't know.
I think it's strategic to his ego.
I don't know. If you look at – so there was a really interesting ESPN – ESPN the magazine survey. They surveyed like 58 NBA players, 59 NBA pros and former pros about LaVar Ball.
Oh, yeah, I saw this.
And
it's amazing in and of itself.
They said, is LaVar a master strategist or a buffoon? 79% said he was a master strategist. 12% said he was both. I think he's and what an Eastern Conference player said was, you're asking me questions about LaVar Ball. I think he's making his point. I think this is all I think this is all strategy. I think this is a guy who from the moment is
I think it's strategy for the brand, dude. Because part of that survey is the big baller brand for real. And a majority said yes. Here's the thing, and I was talking to producer Joey about this before the show. By the way, producer Joey, we love that you worked in the NBA for almost a decade. We love your knowledge. You got to pull back on talking during the Reed Forgrave Bill Ryder show, and you're talking a lot right now. You're an over talker.
Sorry.
Joey. What was that?
Sorry.
Joey's so good at this. Like, when we're like sitting on the podcast, like, can you guys hear me and have the microphone way from his face? Like, dude, you got to put the microphone, like, close race. And like, he'll like, it's like right here. Can you hear me at all? And then it's like, move it close. And he like, moves it. And he's like, how's this? Like, we still can't hear it. Put the microphone up on your fucking.
Joey's actually been talking this entire podcast over us. We just can't hear him. His lips keep moving. Can't hear what he's saying.
Really, really, really funny.
I think Lonzo has the perfect mentality to deal with his dad. He's dealt with him 19
years. But I think, and we've had this conversation a lot, yeah. But I don't disagree with you. We're moving away from that to something else, in my opinion. Can I do a LeBron James comparison here?
Yeah, absolutely.
LeBron's beloved now. Everybody loves him. He's the best player on earth. Winning solves all things. But when I covered him, and people forget this, he was mocked around the NBA. Like, players loved when he struggled, loved when he got killed by ESPN or by me or by anybody else, right? Like, there was a lot of jealousy and resentment when he went to Miami. People forget this from his own league, not his little clique of friends, his own league. And over time, guys would talk about LeBron or blow in his ear was sort of the end of it, right? And in that spectrum, a lesson started to be learned. If you go after LeBron, I've been swearing a lot, Joey, I'm sorry. If you go after LeBron, if you make him mad, if you humiliate him, if you say something embarrasses him, you're going to wake up a sleeping giant. It doesn't matter if it's a January in Utah or Minneapolis, right? You're going to get you're going to get peak LeBron. You're going to get finals LeBron if you've insulted him. And that's a reminder for me that when you got, it's a marathon. Guys get that. I'm not saying they take nights off, but it's a marathon. Lonzo is going to get peak everybody.
Yeah.
And my concern with his dad is that not that Lonzo can handle his dad. Of course he can. Can he handle every point guard's absolute top effort for an entire 82-game season? Because you know who couldn't? Jeremy Lin couldn't. And it ended Lin's sanity. So
I would say this. One, I think Lonzo is just natural talent, natural basketball IQ, a far better, I guess, prospect than Jeremy Lin ever was. And two, I think it goes one of two ways. The first couple of years, people just absolutely going after him. Either it kills him or it makes him not just a good player, but a great player, an NBA All-Star.
That's where I'm with you.
And that's where I like this dude's mentality. It does
LaVar?
Seem to kind of roll off him. No.
Oh, Lonzo.
I meant Lonzo. I'm sorry.
I agree. In fact, should we play? He didn't sound happy. But after the game, I think you and I are on the same page. After the game, this was sort of Lonzo's, I thought, very mature. And you're right. He's a very well put together young man, more than you or I. And we're almost twice his age. Here's what he said after he got just destroyed by Patrick Beverley.
I mean, that's what happens when you play in L.A. You know, everybody expects you to do well. And if you don't, you get somebody to do it. So obviously tonight wasn't the way we wanted to come out. Wasn't how we wanted to finish. But good thing about the NBA is, you know, we got 81 more. So we all on one, and that's only one loss. Tomorrow we can bounce back.
So that was actually not his response back to Beverly. That was it actually a letdown? And I'm good at radio and podcasts because I definitely, man, I f***ed that up. I Lonzo'd that shit.
Poor Joey.
Yeah, I gave Joey a look like, what are you doing? And then I looked like, oh, that's me. That's definitely my fault. He also said about Patrick Beverly, which I guess we don't have, the guy played 94 feet. The guy, you know, gave it his all, kind of tipped his cap to him. You know, wasn't sycophantic, didn't come off as weak, didn't come off as damaged, came off as like, yeah, he played really well. That's part of the deal.
He came off as a pro. He came off as a guy who knew that he went up against first team all defensive NBA and that Patrick Beverly got the better of the deal.
You're such a man crush guy on these balls. I like the balls, but you are
I do like the balls.
You like everybody though, Reed. Like, here's the thing. Like,
we are different in this aspect.
I mean to a lot of people. You're like, you also, and we'll get to, you might be right. Like, you like D'Angelo Russell. And you're like, give me a
guy
that is
30 point in his first outing. Fantasy superstar on my team, D'Angelo Russell, going to save
me
from
a guy drafted in the top five this past draft that you think sucks and is overrated and is not going to make it.
I don't think he sucks, but I think Markelle Fultz was overrated going into the draft.
You did not say that until his shot went bad.
Do you want to look at my mock draft that had Tatum 1, Ball 2, Fultz 3, which isn't sucks, but like. I don't think I saw another mock draft out there that had Fultz.
Criticize somebody
up.
From the draft. It's like,
I am so smart. This is the point that I'm trying to make here. another guy from the draft. Let's see. Fourth was Josh Jackson.
Love right? Josh Jackson.
Fifth was De'Aaron Fox. I love
you
them
love
all,
De'Aaron. Man. Yeah, they're all, it was a pretty good draft, too.
Yeah, it was a good draft.
I'm trying to get you to be a jerk to somebody. So I think, by the way, Brandon, do you want to go after Brandon Ingram?
No, you mean 3 of 15, Brandon Ingram?
He's
you
my
mean
most
like
improved player? He better.
Yeah.
He better.
Yeah,
start
me too. I think you were in my ear about Brandon Ingram enough over the past like month or two that I went for him too. Ooh, he doesn't look too improved.
He's just so skinny. Like he's still like he's a guy who you watch him on the basketball court and you're like, oh man, this guy is good. And then he just can't finish and he just gets like tossed around and he's not playing defense. I thought that was way more worrisome than Lonzo Ball struggling.
Can I
No.
You're right. I apologize. by the way, the other thing about Joey, we do this on Skype. No one else can see it but us. But, like, you actually know how to use a camera read so I can see your face. All I see is Joey's forehead and his poofed up hairdo for the lady.
Oh, nice. I just got a haircut at a hipster place, and I basically asked him for the Joey Levin, and that's what I got. It's not his poof.
He's probably got it done so that we can't see him on his phone, like swiping left or right, whatever it is on the Unhinged app that he uses.
Joey, can you put the camera actually back up? I kind of liked the focus on your upper forehead.
The light.
Beautiful hair. Beautiful hair, man.
Hey, ladies. Look forward to in New York on the Hinged app.
Listen to our podcast and look at Joey's hair. Wait a second. It's a podcast.
All right, so I'm going to make a conclusion about that game that's going to lead us to, I think, a conclusion about the next game we're going to talk about. I'm going to do what's called a transition. I'm very excited about it. I no more believe that the Clippers are great than I believe the Lakers are a worthy test, right? They're not. Like, I'm not going to suddenly sign off on the Clippers are really good. The Lakers were just really bad. In the same way, but more significant, I am far from ready to talk about how great the Thunder are. I would rather focus on the fact that the Knicks are an absolute dumpster fire if you're going to draw any conclusions. And, you know, we have this sort of network, this sort of digital network that's coming, that's been talked about. And we do sort of practice rehearsals for it. And one of the questions this morning was like, people doubted the Thunder, but isn't it kind of, doesn't it look like it's real? And my answer is no. Like, Thunder Big 3 debut and on the surface, amazing. Paul George, a bunch of points. Yeah. Melo, a bunch of points. Yeah. Westbrook, triple-double, 20-point win. Can I just play the a-hole, and then you can tell me why I'm wrong, Forgrave?
I want to be nice to people. You don't, so I don't want to do it. Sorry.
I'm not saying that the Thunder are going to suck. I'm just saying that the disappointment factor of the Thunder is just as likely, and there's just as much information in Game 1 to suggest it could happen, as there is information to suggest they could excel, right? I think there's a wide range and a high ceiling and a low floor. And the floor is still out there, and here's why. Russ takes 12 shots in a game where he gets a triple-double against a bad team. Really easy to be selfless on night one, right? You're married.
Yep.
Happily married.
I'm happily married. Where is this going?
There's a honeymoon reason for marriage gets hard after the honeymoon period ends. It gets harder every day afterwards, right? So does an 82-game season with egomaniacs. So that's one. There's no way Russ has taken 12 shots and be the guy that's going to sacrifice. 23 shots for Paul George, 20 shots for Melo. Guess what they combined for? 17 for 43. They were 40% from the field. They were bad from three. George was, I think, 6 of 13. Melo was 3 of 10. Here's my point. Someone has to sacrifice their shot selection, the number of shots they take, and if it's Russ, it's not going to work because I don't believe he's going to be willing to do it.
I don't know, man. I know you like to wait 20, 25 games before making any big
games.
Conclusions. 20 games. I like to wait like quarter and a half. And What I saw from this team, look, Russ, last year, he was out there with something to prove. He wanted to prove that he could do anything on a basketball court that he wanted to do. And he did it. Averaged a triple-double, won the MVP. He was awesome. And I think
He averaged a triple-double and won the MVP?
Didn't you know this, Bill? I thought you were an NBA writer. I'm saying all this beautiful stuff.
He should not have won the MVP. But anyway, please go. I'm sorry.
He proved this last year that he can be the guy on a good basketball team. I think what he's trying to prove this year is that he can be a leader, an efficient leader, perhaps even sometimes selfless leader on a winning basketball team. To me, this could go badly. There are a lot of egos, but to me, this is a top four team in the West, almost certainly. Are they better than the Rockets or the Spurs? Maybe, maybe not, but I think they proved to me they're certainly up there. Russ.
Let me just jump in and say this though. Like, okay, but like the Clippers were a top four team with Chris Paul, who got smoked in the playoffs and it disintegrated. If this is the standard, isn't top four team in the West? The standard is are they actually competitive to make a run at a brutal Western Conference postseason? And to do that, you have to have these fault lines not be fault lines. They have to be strengths. So, can they win a bunch of basketball games in the regular season against bad teams like they did last night and some good teams? Yeah, probably. So did I was around that Clippers team, and they didn't like each other. And you and I have had this talk. I once had a GM, a general manager, when I was still pretty high in the Clippers.
Wait, hold on. GM, that stands for general manager?
It depends.
Appreciate you clarifying that. Okay, go ahead.
It also stands for good move when I play you in basketball, when you're like GM.
I'm not a good basketball player.
No, you're really bad, actually. I'm actually kind of a baller for a bad dude.
Considering all the asterisks relative next to that phrase,
I am gone in 60 seconds. I'm a really good bad basketball player.
Oh, like, I thought you were talking about your love life for a second there. I'm sorry.
I
went there. Set myself up.
What are you talking? Hurt. What are you doing?
On a 60 seconds.
Oh, I touched a nerve. With the MVP vote. So, that Clippers team, this GM told me they're going to lose. They're going to collapse. They're going to lose a series they shouldn't. Because they don't like each other. And teams that don't like each other, things go wrong, right? And I'm like, I don't believe you. And they were up 3-1 against the Rockets in the Western Conference Finals, and they collapsed. And that's when I started to sort of do more reporting on what was wrong with that team, and it led to all my problems with Chris Paul and breaking some stories. My point is, these guys need to figure this out, and it needs to not be a problem when they're under the pressure of good teams in the playoffs. I'm not saying it won't happen. I just think there are real fault lines that are going to be an issue that have to get fixed.
No, it's a great point. It's a great point. There's only one basketball. But I do think, look, Russ, you brought this up earlier, 21 points on 12 shots. There were four times all season where he took 12 or fewer shots. Look, it's one game in and it's still the honeymoon. But
well, only 12?
12.
That's a great stat. I mean, like, dude, there's no way.
Four times all season where he took 12 or fewer.
Well, four. Yeah, I mean, he's not gonna be willing to. I know it's a different situation.
And he it's like he already proved himself. He already has his $200 million extension.
All three were top 30 in usage rate last year. Russ was one. All right, here's my thing, and you may be right. I'm not even arguing with you. I just think it's interesting.
Yeah,
he couldn't. Here's the other question, right? The question within the question. Do you want to go into like into the Inception Matrix?
I was going to transition like, there, but you like did first.
Three dreams deep.
You're going to lose me very early in this.
One of the really, like everyone, including me, is talking about, does Melo learn from his failure? Does Paul George learn from being on a bad Pacers team? And the narrative that all these somewhat sycophantic writers, like he just struggled in Indiana where they weren't good. I wonder if Russ, having not been able to share with Durant, deep in his basketball heart, knowing it's a part of the reason Durant left, is willing now with talent to be a different basketball. Because if you can't do it with Durant, then you know the logic would be you're not going to do it with Melo and Paul George, but maybe not doing it with Durant. Maybe deep down he knows he's partly to blame for Kevin Durant being a Warrior.
I love it. I mean, if this team, if we see this team rise to, if they get crowned come April, May, if they look like the playoff team that we think they might be able to, I want to revisit this thought because it's a really interesting point. That's your first interesting point.
What my second interesting point? I made second, a really good point, and then you like insulted my wife's love life with
no, not your wife. Your wife is lovely.
It got really weird. It got like really like Reed and I have been friends for 20 years. That literally was a shot at me for something I said 7 months ago. Reed buries it all in, and then what? It comes out.
Oh, yeah, that usually does happen. That right. Is also by the way, like
totally whatever at the Dodgers game a year and a half ago.
I'm the same way with my wife. I'll get frustrated about these little things over like the course of a week, and then like she'll be like put a piece of paper on top of the wrong piece of paper. I'll be like, what are you doing?
By the way. In the Inception analogy on this podcast, I feel like I'm the Leo character. Joey is the Joseph Gordon-Levitt character, and Reed, you're the Ellen Page character.
I love Ellen Page. Thank you.
She's really smart. She's smart and skeptical.
Smart, skeptical, kind, beautiful.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt's first name is Joseph, and he rarely talks, but when he does, he's all like, I'm angry and I'm a hipster deep down. And I just want to be Leo because who doesn't want to be
the Leo? The man. Yes, the man.
I love that movie. I've only seen that movie once because it really messed with me.
Huh. I mean, I don't say that. Good point.
All right. So I'm not saying that the Thunder are going to be bad. I'm just saying I'm not. Also, dude, the Knicks are – they might be the worst defensive team in the league. They're awful.
They are.
Porzingis was great.
Porzingis was awesome, man. He was
and super confident,
man.
By the way.
Yeah. Yeah. He looked great. What I don't understand about this Knicks team, why are they playing – Kyle O'Quinn, why are they playing Raymond Sessions over Damian Dotson, Frank Ntilikina, and Willie Hernangómez? Like those three youngsters got like a combined added up.
What were Porzingis' final numbers?
What's that?
What did Porzingis finish with?
38 minutes, 31 points, 12 rebounds, block.
What was that? How many points?
31 points. 31 and 12. Hit two threes.
He blocked Noah.
And he was minus 17 because they are the Knicks.
Yeah, it always drives me nuts when now I'm taking a shot at somebody in our company, but not whatever. It always takes me nuts when someone's like, this guy was minus 14. You're like, yeah, but he had the highest plus minus of anybody on his team, and they lost by 30. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you got to put these things in
context. It was Tim Hardaway out of their starters had the highest plus minus at minus 6. Way to go, Tim Hardaway. Great signing. Not really a great signing. Bill, what's up, guys? So, the Knicks are terrible. The Knicks are absolutely, absolutely awful, which is too bad. But I think they have, they got some potential, right?
God, like they're always so bad. You're right. You like
NBA is a better place when the Knicks are good. The Knicks are certainly not good this year.
Something I'm super excited about. And we'll make. Can I announce this on the? I'm gonna do it. Whatever, we're gonna do it. It's the Reed Forgrave Bill Ryder podcast. I'm one of those two guys. I'm gonna announce it. We're gonna do a weekly Reed Forgrave Rookie Five list, where you're gonna rank your top five rookies in the NBA from 5 to 1, and then you can do like honorable mentions. And if you want to, you're not a jerk like I am. Like I did this for the NFL on radio, and then I do like you didn't make the cut. I do a couple that were close, and then I bring up how much I hate Jay Cutler and the Miami sucks.
So I have to find like if
you if you want to, you can't.
I'll look for a villain. I'll look for some like low hanging fruit.
So we're not doing that yet because you can't. Are you up for starting next week or do you want a bigger sample size?
I think I want a slightly bigger sample size, so maybe like the week after that. But I mean, the one dude that I that
no
I
give watched, us your rookie of the year right now.
Dylan Brooks, man, for he scored like 19 points for the Grizz. He was awesome, which I that is not a guy I thought was going
to
be awesome. But
goes
one
to
game
fantasy
in
basketball league. Searches players. By the way, Reed, did you know that buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated? You do. You're actually a huge music guy, and you're the guy that's tried to improve my taste. I'm all the way from Kanye to Bob Seger, and you'll experience that in a moment, Mr. Forgrave. But there's a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events, a SeatGeek seamless mobile experience. You can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, and it's fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person. And SeatGeek, whether it's Bob Seger, whether it's Kanye, for Reed, whether it's country music, will get you closer. That's not true. To the action for a great value. Reed and I both have the SeatGeek app on our phones. It's by far the easiest way we found to shop for tickets. We can be anywhere. On the train, hanging out, chilling, just a few taps away, instantly find seats. We actually use SeatGeek to buy tickets to an event that I went to in LA when Bob Seger was there. I really did at the Forum. It was amazing. I'm not ashamed to say I love you, Bob Seger. So remember, and by the way, our listeners can get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download SeatGeek and enter the new promo code I. That's EYE. That's the promo code I. EYE as an I spy Reed Forgrave going to country music concerts.
Bill, ask me where I got my Arcade Fire tickets for next weekend here in the lovely city of.
Are you going to Arcade Fire?
I am going to Arcade Fire.
And I got my tickets on SeatGeek! Dude, I need to. They're I am awesome. So bad at. I am like, I need to plug into the New York music scene. I heard there is one.
Yes, yes. It's an excellent scene for a man who works from, what, 5 to 9 p.m.? 6 to 10 p.m. every night?
Yeah. My days are basically 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. It's okay. I'm not complaining. Why? No, we have the best jobs in the world. We talk about sports for a living. Arcade Fire, how many times have you seen Arcade Fire?
Once. I saw them at Lollapalooza several years ago in Chicago. They were awesome.
Now that you were high, because you would never do that, and that's not a part of your makeup, because you're
disgusting.
But the people around you might have been, and there's just a contact. How
it was a little stinky. It was a little
how
stinky.
How much do you remember the concert is the question I'm asking you.
You know, it was I think Arcade Fire was the third day of a three-day music festival. You've known me for going on 20 years, and you know that one of my strengths is not pacing myself. I am not good at pacing myself.
So
generally, I get a good seat to the show before Arcade Fire. I don't remember what that show was, and I fell asleep on the grass waiting for Arcade Fire, and I said to my friend, wake me up when they're on. I can't pace myself, Bill.
I know. I was just and like you and I, there's a running debate in our households, which of us is to blame for the conditions we return in when we go out together drinking.
Oh, please don't bring up the Kings of Leon concert ever on this podcast.
I wasn't going to. By the way, that is in my back pocket. If we ever get too edgy with each other,
I know. If it gets nasty,
I'm going to go straight to that.
Let's just say it was bad.
Can I count my daughter's first concert ever as Kings of Leon? Before Kings of Leon blew up, became douchebags. Am I allowed to say that? Got on the cover of Rolling Stone. I remember when the Kings thing jumped the shark is when, like, you and I were at a Kings concert in Kansas City, and, like, I bumped into a guy in accident. He's like, you want to fight? I'm like, you're the Kings of Leon.
Remember that.
You're the Kings
I was all ready to fight after all that booze.
You can't pace yourself. Lori and I went to a concert when Madeline was 9 months – when Lori was 9 months pregnant and Madeline was, like, 2 weeks from being born in a small venue that, like, was, I don't know, 30 feet deep. Do you think that counts as her first concert? He was kicking the whole time.
Yeah, man. My Owen's first concert was – that's our five-year-old, for those
Taylor
who are listening.
Smith.
It was Wilco at Red Rocks in Denver when Megan was about 7 months pregnant. So, yeah. I think it counts.
Joey, your five children spread across America. What were their first concerts?
I went to a Kanye, Common, John Legend concert in high school when I was like 16. So probably one of those was one of their first concerts.
Okay, good.
Reading early. Way to go, man.
I've never seen Kanye live. I would love to. I'm not sure it's going to happen, though.
It was incredible.
I bet it was. I do think he's a... I know we're doing a sports podcast. I think he's an absolute genius. And like Life of Pablo is an obnoxious name, but it's also accurate.
This concert, though, it was after his first album. John Legend did his entire album solo and then flew to another concert that night. Then Common did a whole set. Then Kanye did a set. Then Common came out and did a set with Kanye. Oh, and then Jay-Z surprised everybody at the end.
So who popped as the most talented guy? Was there any like, wow, that Kanye guy's better than everybody else?
Well, the surprising thing – not that surprising. Common was incredible. Like, he just puts on a great show. But the whole thing was incredible.
I'm not a Common guy. I just haven't – yeah.
His energy, though, he got the crowd going more than the other guys. But Kanye is Kanye. He's incredible.
He's amazing.
Joey, is that the best show you ever been to?
Yeah. It was also – I don't know if you remember this. Back in the day, Pepsi used to do this thing called Pepsi Smash, and they live stream concerts. It was like it was like a 500-person concert, and this kid at my high school was like, I have these four tickets. I don't listen to rap music. I'll give them to you for $20 a piece. I didn't think it was real, and then we showed up. It was incredible.
That sort of summed up my view of Joey. Didn't think it was real, and then he showed up in New York. Oh, my God.
And it was incredible.
Everything. Yeah, not that part. Yeah, it's incredible. Reed Embiid on Wednesday night had 18 points and 13 rebounds in 27 minutes. some minutes restriction there.
Yeah. I mean, that's the one stat that jumps out. Like, is that his career high on minutes?
I think it might be.
No, really?
I think so.
I'm completely making this up.
No, there's zero chance that's right.
Really quick, and I'm looking up.
There's zero chance that's accurate.
Zero chance?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he's played.
All right, good.
When he was
good
in that set, take that for data, bro.
Take that for data.
There you go, Joey.
One more.
Take that for data.
That's pretty good. I'm sure he played 33 games last year. I would guess that he played
31.
31 games. I would guess that he played 30 minutes or more. I'm going to go 17 times.
I probably should go like 25. He never played more than 29. He played 27 or 28. It looks like about 7 or 8 times. So it was right up there. It was among his highest minutes restrictions. I'm smart.
I'm smart and I want respect. I'm not what they say. Not dumb. Like people say, I was passed over. Can you name that movie, Reed?
I can't. You always quote movies.
You're not a man until you can quote The Godfather 1 or 2.
Oh, sorry. I've seen that movie as many.
That's what I wanted.
I've seen that movie as many times as you've seen Inception, but about 28 times fewer than I have seen Big Lebowski.
Simmons' debut with 18, 10, and 5. What did you see? I actually, here's my thing about the Sixers, right? And Fultz, you see the free throws?
Yeah, they look awful. They look awful. What is he doing? And how did he change his shooting form for his rookie season when it wasn't a problem without the knowledge of the Sixers coaching staff?
Really, here's my takeaway on the Sixers, right? Like one game, knee-jerk reaction that I will change at a moment's notice. I'm curious. They remind me in the most basic way of Minnesota the last few years. I'm going to watch them every night on League Pass. I find them super fascinating, even when they're clearly like that. They're not as good a team as you sort of think their talent's going to add up to eventually. But I don't care that they lost to the Wizards. I don't care that there were some struggles. Like they've got enough talent now, whether it's this year or next year. Like they're a fun basketball team to watch, and they're loaded with talent. It's a league about talent.
Yeah, Joey, if you could record Bill's comments and then just play them over as my own.
Yeah, I completely agree, man. Like this team, in the East, they are a playoff team this year. But are they going to be competitive against the great teams?
I mean, I was really impressed they could go into Washington on opening night and be able to hang with what I think is a really good Wizards team. But it's all going to depend on Embiid. But I just think this team's going to be really fun. And it's going to be really fun, probably in a good way and a bad way, to see what Markel Fultz does this year. Because
I'm with you.
Aside from his shooting form, he looks great. He's an active player.
Did you like his game?
Yeah.
You like his game?
Yeah, I thought he was really solid. I think he actually is going to be just fine. I think the rest of his game is still great. He plays great off the ball. I think he's going to be just fine. And I think his shooting over the next couple of years will work itself out.
It's interesting because I'm with you. And by the way, maybe they'll be good. Maybe they'll be good this year, right? Like maybe, but like Covington looks really, really good. I mean, Saric didn't, but I think he's going to be fine. And Ben Simmons, man, and I have him on my fantasy team. He put up fantasy numbers. There were moments where he didn't look great. There were moments where he's such a dynamic physical specimen that I cannot wait to see what he evolves into. It's going to be something really exciting. Like whatever it is. You got a lot of crap. A lot of crap. From Joey's guy who was on the podcast a few
Brendan
days.
Haywood, man.
The dynamic. I'm sorry I keep swearing, Joey. It's a Friday. I'm tired. And I'm just fucking letting you down. How much time does it take you to bleep these out?
Joey doesn't have his mic on, guys.
Try again.
Well, no, full disclosure, there's construction going on here, so I'm trying to turn it on and off so you guys don't hear the banging and the drilling. But it doesn't take long to bleep one, but when you have to go back and bleep them all, it takes a little bit.
Reed, you may have an apology coming from our friend Brendan, because D'Angelo Russell in the first game had 30 points. And by the way, he was 12 of 22. It's not like he was 7 of 31 or 12 of 36, right? Like, played really well. He had 30 points. And Jeremy Lin, until that I don't know if the injury is gruesome, but his reaction was in 25 minutes, had 18 points. They combined for almost 50 points, and they certainly would have combined for 50 or more had he not gotten hurt. I'm not going to say we owe you an apology, but
I'll take the apology.
Joey's sorry.
Come on, go ahead.
they look good. Yeah, they did.
What a shame about Jeremy Lin.
I like he's a good dude, too.
Good dude. Yeah, like one of the best dudes in the league. It's just such a shame to see a season end after 25 minutes. But D'Angelo Russell, man, if you're a fantasy basketball player, pick him up like I did on my fantasy team. I think he's going to be really, really good. Camera. Is that creepy?
Is that how you like? Is that on a Wednesday night when you turn to Megan, your wife, and you're like, you want to go to a movie? And she's like, no, I'm tired.
You're creeping me out again, husband.
No.
Can you?
No, I think D'Angelo Russell, I think this is a good situation for him. This is going to be a bad team. The Cavs are, you're never thrilled at a guy's injury, but the Cavs own that Nets pick, and that pick looks even better after that Jeremy Lin injury. This team is going to be terrible in the win-loss categories, but I think they got some interesting young pieces. I didn't even think of that. Yeah, that Lin injury is the Cavs' benefit, is the Cavs' game.
And with, if you got a top four, I'd say five pick in this draft, you could get a franchise type player. So.
Who's the right pick?
I think it's really close. I take Michael Porter Jr.
Everybody else sucks.
I take Michael Porter Jr. A lot of people take Marvin Bagley. Plenty of people take Luka Doncic. I think those three are kind of in their own tier, but I think that second tier of Mo Bamba and DeAndre Ayton is fairly.
I don't
close.
Want you to praise seven people. I want you to pick one name and insult
Michael
everybody
Porter
else.
Jr. Michael Porter Jr.
I didn't ask you to be like the ninth guy in the draft. Is a really slow
let
fellow.
Let me tell
too.
You about this kid from Florida Gulf Coast. Nate
I'm
Brandon.
Just saying, be mean to people.
Second round, he's going to be a stud.
by the way, I don't really want to delve into this too much. I'm just going to just say, like, it should be really hard in 2017. To allow the Pacers to score 140 points. I mean, what the?
You know what's even harder?
Allowing the Brooklyn Nets to score 131. Yeah, but they have a dynamic backcourt, so
they do it. Not anymore.
Yeah. Oh, Jeremy Lin. Reed, guess what part of the show we're at? This would be great. Joey, do you have a buzzer?
I have. Yes. Well, no, I have.
So, I don't even know what that. Wow.
Joey is going to give you. Now, the rules are simple. Just want to all be on the same page. If you don't do it, if you change the lyrics to something that's not, you know, sycophantic, if you stop. I had a radio host who used to do this all the time with me. She would just stop in the middle when she lost a bet and be like, no, you're still going. We start over.
Oof.
Those that missed. We had a bet on Lonzo Ball's over-under shooting percentage game one. I said it's 37%. He shot 16%. He was 1-for-6. You lose. You have to sing Bob Seger, but you have to, instead of Against the Wind, it's Against the Bill. Had I lost, Against the Reed.
Because I don't even like Bob Seger. I barely even know how the tune goes, but.
Do you want me to? Do you want me to play
no.
it?
No, that'd be funny because that would be you. That would be you.
So
it,
Joey's going to count you in. He's going to keep the timer, and the dong will free you.
You ready, Reed?
Oh, no, I'm not ready at all. Nor are
not
listeners.
Born ready. Not bo- all right, here we go. In 3, 2, 1.
Against the Bill. Against the Bill. We were running against the Bill. We were young and strong, losing podcast listeners by the dozens. We were running against the Bill.
I need a ruling. Losing podcast listeners might be a reset. It might be a redo.
Why is that a reset? That doesn't even make any sense.
The rules were very clear.
Sycophantic. I was making fun of myself. No, I wasn't making fun of you. I was making fun of myself.
Make the ruling.
I'll let it slide. I'll let him have it. That was good enough for me. And here's the thing. That was good enough for me, and that's now going to be cut and be part of the show forever. So.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I really hate you.
I had to turn my microphone off. I didn't want to laugh over it because I know we're going to play it back.
My wife is a lovely singer. I am a terrible singer. My 5-year-old son loves to sing, but I am
very afraid that he has my singing skills.
Hashtag diva, because you should have listened to Against the Wind and had the you sort of went off. You went off the way it's supposed to sound at the end.
I don't listen to that
crap. Classic yeah. American song of longing.
Fucking Eagle. And
Bob Seger, man.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Why do you hate?
Probably, part of it has to do with you liking him so much and always playing him and being like, Bob Seger's an American classic.
Yeah, I walk around with my boombox constantly over the course
of
the
You do. Just Bill, like, walking around Brooklyn?
What was this? My boombox and my Reebok pumps.
I had those were awesome.
I had the pumps too.
They were amazing.
Deep Giannis versus LeBron tonight. I know we're winding this down, but very quickly. You guys were having a weird conversation when I was like getting coffee before about LeBron and Giannis combining as some sort of human basketball centipede?
LeBronis. I don't know where the centipede came in. That was Joey. But if they did combine, it would be the ultimate.
LeBronis.
Gene, known as LeBronis.
2 years from now, who do you want, LeBron or Giannis? Correct answer, Giannis.
Giannis.
Yeah. Boy.
So. Maybe. I think he could be a top four player in the NBA right now. I think he will be in a year. And I think like the range of like if you were like, is like 2 months to 24 months and being a top three player. I think he's that good, that remarkable, that dynamic. And your prediction, Reed Forge, if I remember correctly, you have him as MVP?
Pretty darn good about that.
I love it.
And
by the way, I think it's Giannis or LeBron. I was thinking like Russ's number. He had a triple-double, but he took fewer shots. Like I think
Kawhi, assuming this injury is not a big deal, I think you got to put Kawhi in that conversation.
Spurs always, yeah, but I think Kawhi doesn't get the votes he deserves because there's like a sexiness factor for the Spurs. We already did this the other day, but I think LeBron's going to have the best year of his career.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Giannis might have that team. By the way, here's the other thing. Boston's no longer a good basketball team. They're just not. I don't think they're going to be that competitive. That moves Milwaukee up. So if Milwaukee was going to be four, they're three, right? If Milwaukee was going to be three, they're two. If the Bucks are a top three team, I think Giannis becomes this sort of interesting story and it gets votes.
Is it possible that the Cavs do not don't try in the regular season and have some injury struggles and resting players and just not caring, and the Bucks win the East? Is that possible?
It's interesting, and we didn't plan to talk about this, but I was thinking about this watching them play the other night. Derrick Rose is old, body wise, not age wise, and not that good. Dwayne Wade is old, right? LeBron's getting older. At a year where they've cut down on your ability to basically rest guys, the Cavs are a team that need to rest guys.
More than just about any team in the league.
I mean, and look, I'm hard on people, and I'm pretty – on the radio show, I'm gratuitously mean-spirited to Ty Lue. There's a long list of people that will never come on this pod. If they did, it'd be really interesting. But I do doubt his sort of coaching acumen. I think LeBron – creates a culture where it's hard to be a successful coach, and he would rather if he brings in somebody, he'll bring in somebody who has trouble being successful because LeBron's going to make a lot of decisions. I just think it's a tough situation to be in, right? So I'm trying to say all that to be nice to Lou. I'm not sure he's capable of balancing out the egos on that team and like doing what Pop would do, which is like, yeah, cool, nobody's going to play more than 27 minutes. The year that the Spurs, I think it's the last year they won a championship. It was Tony Parker's last good year, right? When he was the best player on that team. Was that 3 years ago? No player played more than 30 minutes a game on that team. Tony Parker only played like 27 minutes a game. And if you go back and you look at it or you watch the games, it was a maestro in Popovich at work in sort of like managing minutes. And because Popovich is under the rules then that the entire league is now because they were watching him. They wanted to get him when he sat those guys 5 years ago on that big TNT game against Miami, right?
Mm-hmm.
My point is, Pop can do that. He can tell Tony Parker, like in basically Parker's last sort of season of greatness, you're the leader. It's your team. You're going to play the most minutes. It's 27 a game. Sorry. I don't think you can do that with some of these. You're going to tell Dwayne Wade, I want you to play 21 minutes a game because I need you ready for the whole. It's not going to happen.
The fact that LeBron played 41, I think it's 41 minutes. Is that right, Joey? In the season opener?
Dumb.
Like that's a problem to me.
Yeah. And I know he's a machine. Like I know LeBron's like a freak, but you got to, and I know it's game. And here's the thing, like, it'll be interesting because we're assessing this based on past years. And obviously they, a lot fewer back-to-backs, four and fives are four and fives done.
I
or greatly reduced
yeah.
with the goal of doing away with them. So maybe Reed, like, you can do that and you can rest more. But I'm with you, dude. I mean, it's you can't play LeBron that much. Jay Crowder played 34. I like Jay Crowder. 35 minutes. Derrick Rose played 31 minutes. Dwayne played 28 minutes. It's just like I know. I mean, they're not that deep, but mix in some more. God, they're not.
Isaiah better be. He better be 100% come winter. With January. January is what they're saying. He better be 100% because this team is going to have some serious issues. I mean, as serious of an issue as you can have being probably the best team in the Eastern Conference.
I'd like to see Jeff Green play more, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one game. I'm not going to criticize like the rotations on.
Do it. Do it. Go in.
No,
go in on Ty Lue, man.
No.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
No,
I just think D-Will.
I don't disagree. I think he's going to be a big part. During the game, when you brought up Jeff Green, I just was thinking about how the announcers were just like they were in a love affair. Every time Jeff Green did something, like the energy, Jeff Green, look at Jeff Green. I was like, what's happening? Is Jeff Green the guy now? Like, I mean,
I do like the energy though. I was funny. I was like,
they loved him. It was crazy.
Well, it's nice to give a shit. You gotta bleep that one out too. Sorry. I'm not sorry.
You might have a record on this podcast.
Sorry, not sorry. Sorry, not sorry. Is there any reason we would have Andy Roddick on this podcast?
Plays fantasy basketball.
He's famous.
So do all of us.
He's famous. It's probably the right. But so is Reed. So, you know, we gotta get that. I don't think the Cavs are as good, by the way, this year. I don't think they're nearly.
I think the Cavs are a tick, maybe a couple ticks worse. And I think the Warriors are a tick better.
The East is so bad, dude. The East is so bad.
Which makes all this makes the Bucks. I'm going to 2 Bucks games next week. This amazing city that I live in is also 5 hours from Milwaukee, and I'm going to go to a bunch of Bucks games this year. But
it's exciting. Who do they play next week?
Hornets on Monday, and then Celtics on Thursday, which should be interesting.
Should have been a great game. Yeah, should have been a great game. Yeah. By the way, Atlanta's 1-0. Enjoy that win, Atlanta.
They play Charlotte tonight.
Joe, you worked for that organization for a long time. You're very close with Cliff. You're a Hornets homer. Are they going to be bad? You've always tried to talk me into this team.
I know. Yeah, I always.
In the past.
I mean, I tried to talk. Yeah, as long as we've known each other, I've talked up Cliff, and I still believe it. He is one of the best coaches in the league. But I think Dwight cancels that out. And Batum, who knows what's up with his injury. So,
right.
I mean, without,
I disagree on Dwight, dude. I think it's going to be a mini renaissance this year. And by mini, what I mean is he's going to be slightly better and not destroy a locker room.
Yeah. He had a double-double. He had 10 points, yep. 10 rebounds, and they lost to the Pistons, who I also think are not very good this year. Like,
I actually – the Pistons, every year I'm like, Stan's going to have – I love Drummond. I want to believe in Reggie Jackson. I want to believe in Stan. That's where Bob Seger's from.
most importantly,
they got a huge game from Langston Galloway. That was big. Yeah.
Whatever it takes. By the way, I haven't said this yet. Please subscribe on iTunes. Please rate and review both the podcast 5 stars and Reed's rendering of Against the Bill 5 stars. Thank you for both of you who made it all the way to the end. Wake up. Podcast is over. It's time to go on with your day. Joey Levin is the producer. Reed Forbgave is the talent. I'm just here for the ride. This was a fun one, guys.
Yeah, I agree. I think we should start taking tallies of the Bill swear words and really go for it one day. Just pick a day. They're just like, okay, we're gonna really drive Joey nuts.
When the TV thing launches and we have a PA, maybe we'll make them go through it and just like do a ding counter. Where it's like ding 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 ding. By the way, you guys want a live program here on the podcast? No one's listening to this point anyway. To quote Major League, you can't say fuck on the podcast. No one's fucking listening anyway.
All right, you're welcome. Write that one down.
Poor Joey.
When the digital TV show is up and running, Writer's Block, I think is the name. We should do. I don't know. Like, we should like. I wonder if we could record the Skyping and like play little like funny clips of it as like a, you know,
we can
just to promote it.
You mean like record the video of the Skype?
Yeah, and do a swear word counter, like, you know, just like ding, 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 like 31 or whatever.
It's definitely a possibility.
All right. You're welcome, America, for both of you. Well, one of them got up and left, so the other one's still asleep. Wake up!
Wait, I'll wake him up. I'll wake him up. Hold on, I'll wake him up.
the $1 million duck. By the next podcast.
There we go.
We need to have a clip of Reed singing. Several, like long,
oh,
short.
Oh, man. No, that's a terrible idea. That's such a bad idea. This will put me in a bad mood for the rest of the day. I hate you guys.
He'll snap me in 8 months. And I'll deserve 50 other snaps between now and then that I didn't get. This is The Flagrant 2 with Bill Ryder and Reed Forgrave. Thanks for hanging out. We'll be back on Monday. Hope you are back with us.
I'm out, man.